This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby 138.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, three Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Bradley come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, sitting in for retired jockey Christina McManigal, who will be back in the saddle on this program next week. But as for now, I want to extend a very special welcome to everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius 220 XM Channel 206, and all of you tuning in worldwide on our website, on your smartphone, or your tablet with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. Don't forget that each week, a portion of the proceeds from Jock Talk are given back to the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, that is, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, and we encourage everyone to support the PDJF and help those riders who have given the sport so much, but because of those injuries that they've suffered in the saddle, they can't do it any longer. You can go to pdjf.org to learn more and to support the PDJF. Well, the reason for my visit here this afternoon with you here on the program, and the reason I'm filling in for Christina is because I'm joined live from Gulfstream Park with the 38-year-old of Maricaibo, Venezuela. Now, this gentleman has won 4,359 races to date, but his career is far from over. His mounts have earned nearly $246 million in purses, and he was honored with the Eclipse Award as the nation's outstanding jockey in 2013, 2014, and in 2015. I have the privilege of being joined by jockey Javier Castellano. And Javier, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, great to get a chance to catch up with you a little bit here and spend a little time talking about your life and your career. And I tell people this all the time. You and I have gotten to know each other a little bit over the past few years, and I don't think you'll find a nicer person and a more dedicated family man than Javier Castellano.
Thank you, Mike. I mean, everything is about related, you know, in the life. Being very thankful and be grateful for so many races I'm being done here in my career in USA. But at the same time, I think I'm trying to be a sample for everyone who come to this sport, especially to try to support my family, my mom, my brothers, my sister, and especially my wife and my kids. Try to be role model in my life.
Yeah, well, I remember it's appropriate that we're sitting here at Gulfstream because I can remember the first time that I met Javier Castellano. It was right here in this jocks room, and we were just getting started with the network. It was our first trip to Gulfstream in 2006, and I walked into the jocks room looking to find a couple of jockeys to talk with and do some interviews for the broadcast, and John Velasquez was the first one to come down and talk with me, and then he took me up and he introduced me to you and Jose Lascano, I believe, was up there as well. And we spent a few minutes talking, and it was great because you didn't know me from Abe. And all of a sudden, you know, here we are sitting here talking today, and it's just been great. And I can't thank you enough for always taking the time to be there for us.
No, I appreciate that.
So you mentioned your family and your mom, and I know you come from a relatively large family, right?
Well, I should be only three. One brother, one sister.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I mean, it's regular family. It's a small family. Basically.
So it's not like all the Mirages, right?
No, no,
when we talked to Rajiv, he has about 100 brothers and sisters. But so how many Castellanos? So there's brother, a sister, you know, of course,
and
your
myself.
Mom. Yeah, and yourself. Are your brother and sister, are they riders?
Abel, he rides. He rides in Delaware Park.
Yeah.
In the summertime, the last summer, he rode in Mammoth Park.
Yeah.
He doing really well in the whole race. my sister, she don't have nothing to do with horse races. Actually, she's smart than everyone because she's a lawyer. And right here, that's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. What's the key to being a successful jockey, Javier? You've had a lot of success. What's the key?
I think one of the keys, you need to be disciplined, whatever you do in the life. You need to be dedicated yourself. You need to work hard, try to make some goal in your life. But I think one of the keys, you need to be disciplined and dedicate yourself and love, get passionate what you want to do something in life.
Yeah, and you've done that. You've done that throughout your entire career. As a kid growing up in Venezuela, could you ever imagine that you'd achieve the success that you have?
Yeah, I never imagined to be in that position, my level, my career. My father was a jockey. My uncle was a jockey. I would like to follow those steps and be very fortunate to be here in the United States to do the best what I like it to do and be very blessed.
Do you remember watching your father ride?
Yes, I did. Actually, I rode one race I rode for him. Basically, was kind of retired and tried to force a little bit to ride a race for me. And we did. It was a small field and only 6 horses in the race. Of course, I have the favorite in the race. I had the 4-5. He had the 20-1. But he just said, so passionate to ride with my dad. It was special.
Yeah, I can imagine. Who won the race?
Of course.
Of course it was you.
The 4-5 horse.
The 4-5 horse. Not you. It was the 4-5 horse. I've had a lot of jockeys tell me that it's the horse that's underneath you that gives you a lot of confidence. Meaning if you ride good horses, you have a lot of confidence. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you do, if you get in contact with the horse, you work the horse, come in time, or you have something in the past, in the background with the horse, I think he built your confidence in yourself.
Did your dad want you to be a jockey?
Not at all.
Really?
Yes.
What did he want you to do?
He wanted to do something else. He wanted me to be like, I don't know, anything. But he wanted me encouraged to be anything in life, but not horse race.
Because of the dangers of the profession?
Absolutely, yes. And I'm being very fortunate, like I said in the beginning, I always repeat that word because I never get tired because anything can happen in any jockey, any sport. If you think about any sport is always the risk. But especially in our sport, it's up and down. And my dad, he went through so many tough times in the life, in the career. And that's what you don't want to see your kids go through to that spot. But like I say, babe, I'm very, very lucky, fortunate to be where I am.
What kind of things did your dad have to go through?
Very fortunate for the way. He was very light jockey, but he had a lot of spill. He broke his collarbone, he broke his shoulder. Every time he started picking up his career, he went back to, he broke his something, some bone. He had to stop 2-3 months. And those kind of things, we struggle our career.
Yeah. So
his
Why did you still want to be a jockey and follow in his footsteps after seeing all that?
The passion, the horse race, the horse, the animal. I don't know if I'm born to be this. A small person, and body-wise. And I always love to do that. And I just want to be satisfied in my life.
How about your mom when you told her you were going to be a jockey?
Unbelievable. That's my tough decision I need to make because I need to confront to my family, tell what I want to be in my life. And I need to tell soon because I think it's time to go by. I was a teenager and I need to jockey. He need to start early in his career. But at the same time, I'm from Venezuela. A lot of baseball players and people, they want me to be a baseball player.
Yeah.
I encouraged a little bit. I went through and But I see all my friends start grow up and start getting bigger. And I was the same little guy and never move forward. I tried to play basketball to grow up and tried to take a vitamin. I went to a special doctor. I want to grow up. I want to be strong. I want to be a big guy. But I guess it didn't work out that way. And where I am, you know, I'm here. And it took a little while to convince my family to be jockey. And the good thing about that, after we went through, my father, he supported me. And my career, my mother, and my sister, and my brothers, and everyone.
You told me you were a pretty good baseball player.
I was. And I said I was because I didn't practice for a long time, and I just want to focus where I am right now, what I'm doing. But I did. I enjoy to play baseball.
What position did you play?
Second base.
Yeah?
Infield. Second base, shortstop, third base. I would like to be involved. I like to end the game.
Yeah, was that with your country's team in Venezuela, or was it?
It was like Little Leagues.
Oh, okay.
And I started like I was 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way to 12, 13.
You still follow baseball today?
I do.
Who's your favorite team?
Yankee.
The Yankees, right at the top. That's appropriate.
No, because I mean I was Marley because when I stopped in the United States. I was racing here in South Florida. Of course, I would like to support our team here in the state. Then I moved to New York and decided to go with Mex because Moises Salud was played with Mex, and I'm very good friend to him. I went to the practice with him. I went to the bullpen with him. I went to the infield with him.
Oh, wow.
I tried to get involved, and I met all the baseball players. And Johan Santana was a pitcher that time. Jose Reyes, he was the second base. I mean, a lot of baseball players. I tried to get laid out in that part. But then Joe Torres came to Yankees there. At the same time, I was friend with Joe Torres and another people laying out a little bit the Yankees too. I mean, I just love baseball.
Baseball, yeah. What's Joe Torre like? He seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, he loves the sport. He loves horse races too, also. And he's such a great person, you know. I sit down with him, we talk a lot. He's a wonderful person.
So take me back to Venezuela and tell me about a little Javier Castellano getting on horses, wanting to become a jockey. Tell me about the first time you sat on a horse. What do you remember about that day?
Well, it was my father, and it was a wonderful horse, beautiful, big-looking horse. His name is Gran Tablao, and I love the horse. I never forget. I was 5 years old, and shoe-looking good horse. My dad, he gave me a leg out. He put me in the horse. I never forget that. He keep a couple steps. He walk around a little bit. And the way he moved the horse, the way I feel, I said, wow, that's amazing. That's what I want. I like to do it, but I was only 5 years old. I didn't have that mentality to be where I need to do in my life and tell my parents I want to be jockey. My father was a jockey, win a lot of races over there. When it was my role model.
Yeah.
And I would look up to him. But every time you grow up and time go by, and I need to realize at some point what I need to do in my life. I went to school, I enjoyed, I did a lot of sport, and basketball, football, anything. I played any sport. I was kind of athletic in that part. But I enjoy my...
Do you stay in touch with a lot of people in Venezuela today?
Not much.
No? A lot of your friends that you grew up with, you don't get a chance to talk with them very much anymore?
Just a little bit. Not that much. Like, I would like to do it, but... For so many things happen in Venezuela, the situation in Venezuela, and try to stay out of there a little bit.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to watch what's going on in Venezuela now that you're here in the United States?
Yes. I feel a little sad for those people. They kind of struggle a little bit. And I'm involved with a politician a little bit, but
yeah.
I just respect that party and just, I feel bad for them.
visiting with jockey Javier Castellano on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Let's fast forward to your first winner. Tell me about the day you won your first race ever.
Wow, it was amazing. That I was supposed to win the first time, and something happened in the race, and a little bit be prepared to that race, the horse, and there was something, it gets sick a little bit, and couldn't make it, and they still run the horse. It was even more than the horse. Of course, the horse didn't hit the ball. Now they open investigation with the horse. The horse was sick and not supposed to run the race. And now they put it back, the horse, and 2 weeks later, and the horse, oh, of course, I remember they put the number zero. Nobody can beat the horse. It was in like a test to see what happened with the horse. And the horse, he won galloping. I mean, it was amazing. It was my believe experience, because the way he went through everything to get there and win the race, it was amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I guess you were hooked right after that, right?
Yes.
After you win with a horse like that wins galloping, you know, who knew that you were going to have so many other horses like that in your career?
Yeah, it's true.
Javier Castellano with me here on the network. Javier, how about other jockeys that when you were growing up, would you look up to other jockeys? Were there other riders, other than your dad, for example, that you said, someday, man, I wouldn't mind being at that level?
I believe when I came to 1997, late 1997, my first year in Gulfstream Park was 1998, the first winter here in South Florida. I met so many great jockeys like Jose Santo, Jerry Bailey, Pat Day, Mike Smith, Rob David, Jorge Chavez, Chance Selle.
Wow.
And Julie Cron, she was here that year too. Early Five from Chicago. And Mike McCarthy was living right in Delaware. It was a tough meet. Right there, I mentioned like 10 jockeys so far. Rene Duglin at that point, he was detained here in South Florida. Abar Coa too. Adir Toribio, so many like 13, 14 jockeys. I said, how I can win races here? I mean, it's amazing to break the ice, to move forward. And just to study. And I think it's time to go by. And I think it's not my time right now. I think I got to go through my experience to learn what they do to win some races here. And it was a wonderful experience because I learned a lot of from there, and I'm practicing right now, and I have won the best result of my career.
You are kind of a mentor to a lot of the younger riders that are in the jocks room coming up today. John Velasquez the same way. Who were some of the jockeys that kind of took you under their wing, other than the ones that you just mentioned? Or maybe it is one of those jockeys that said, hey, Javier, I will help you. I'll kind of show you the ropes. Was there somebody like that when you came to the United States?
I didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
I didn't have that luck. I mean, remember, this game is very independent. Everybody picking on his spot. Everybody want to do the best he can for himself. And that's where it is, because it's a competitive game. And I didn't have that luck. I didn't have that opportunity. People, they grab me in the hand, tell me what to do. No, I learned it myself. Try to watch it and watch every jock, every move, what they do inside, outside the races. And that it took me there to learn it. And of course, I have a couple questions, you know. Sometimes I get closer to them, ask a little bit, and they responded. They was very nice with me. I can't complain. But the way he does things, then no one is put me there and say, listen, do this, do that, do this. No,
yeah.
I didn't have the opportunity. But it's still, I'm very happy the way everything unfolded.
Yeah, you mentioned watching other jockeys prepare for a race. How does a jockey get ready and prepare for a race typically?
Everybody is individual. Everybody got different style. Everybody got different way they move. In my case, I dedicate everything, you know, like try to eat well, do exercise, and try to balance. Everything is in balance in the life. If you ride a lot of horses and try to get rest a little bit, study the races, handicapping my horses, and watch the video, watch a lot of replay, how the horses, they move.
Really?
How the horses, they work on a tree, how the last time. And try to, even my horse I rode the last time, I've been riding a lot of horses sometimes. You need just good to refresh your mind and remember a little thing you can go through in the race, and I pick it up quick and refresh my mind, and then I go to perform and try to study the races, see the distance, see the horses, see the what kind of horses are riding, what kind of jockeys, how it's going to fold the race, what kind of speed I have, my style of the horse. If the horse is supposed to be in the lead, the horse come from behind. Those are little things, and try to put everything together and try to find the best for the horse. Give a chance to the horse to win the race.
And you'll do that for every horse that you're riding on a particular day?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like a handicap. People, they think and professional handicap, it's just to beat the horse. No, you got to study. You got to study. You got to see every single race. You need to, the way the horse he trained in the morning, how the horse he worked, the workout, and the way he galloped, the breathing, and try to. It's not about all speed, how handicapped the race is. So many things involved. You need to put it together and go for.
You've worked really hard throughout the years to put yourself in the position that you're in now, where you have great relationships with leading trainers like Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown. What does it take for a jockey to develop those types of relationships? How does that all come about?
Work. Work it. Build it yourself. A relationship, you need to build it yourself. You need to step up and show them you can do it. And the opportunity comes, you be ready. Don't wait. Don't waste your opportunity, because you need to be prepared in what you do. Work in the morning, get on the horses, gallop the horses, even yourself, train yourself. At least some people, they say, I don't have a business right now, I don't do well, but they don't do the homework. I always say, you got to be ready when you need to fight. If you're not ready to fight it, you're not going to win the game. And I think, I believe myself, you need to be ready, because when the opportunity comes, you need to go from there and try to earn it, what you have. Relationship is everything. You need to have a lot of communication and explain it to them why the horse is the way he moves, or why the horse he need to put in the best quality and the best category to win the race. Sometimes, and just to talk, better communication.
With a relationship like you have with, say, Todd and with Chad, when you do your homework, you just mentioned your extensive prep work that you do before a day of racing. You get to the paddock, and Todd says, hey, Javier, I think this horse likes to be ridden a certain way, but maybe you looked at it a little bit differently when you did your homework. Have you gotten to the point now where you guys can have a conversation in the paddock and say, how about this, how about that? Is that the dynamic that the way it all comes together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I ask him, you know, and he told me a couple of times happened before, especially this summer, last summer in Saratoga. He came to the paddock. He told me what to do in the race. And I told Todd, with all due respect, do you think this horse is better this way and that way? And he hesitated a little bit. He think about it. He back up a little bit. I say, well, let's put it that way. You the pilot, make it your own decision. Try to do the best adjustment for the horse. And if you think it is the best convenient for the horse, do it. And if not, it doesn't work, do plan B. What does that mean, plan B? my plan.
That's a great story. Okay, so jockeys go into a race. You go to the gate. You have a couple of different plans in your head, right? You have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and then kind of an uh-oh plan, because everything can change in a second as soon as you come out of the gate, can it?
Yes, correct. Sometimes, example, Lee and Matt, Breeders' Cup and Mile, Lexington, Kentucky. The way I handicap the race, I got the Evie Money horse. The horse is speed. Not much speed in the race. I'm supposed to be in the lead and win wire to wire. I be prepared mentally, and the post parade, I warm them up the horse quick and try to be ready. The horse is staying up perfect. Open the gate, the horse didn't break. Now, 3-4 horses in the lead. I'm behind the horses. I'm off the pay. I didn't supposed to be that way. Now I got to use my best judgment and try to do the right thing for the horse. Sometimes those situations you need to lay back a little bit. Don't get panic. Try to ride smart. Don't rush the horse to get to the point it's supposed to be, because everybody have a plan, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. After using my own judgment, I was right behind the horse, but at the same time, the horse, he never got there in the life. And that's the first time he had to get there in the first. Of course, he got to be in the $1 million race in the British Cup. You got to be killed. I said, oh my God, now what I'm doing? I was right behind the horse and just to try to find the clear spot. And I believe that's the best race in his career. The way the power he did right behind the horse is sort of beautiful. On the phone, when I asked, he responded, he took off. It was a very impressive finish.
How hard is it not to panic in that situation?
It's easy to say, but you got to be in the spot. I mean, you have to be. I think that's one of the keys you need to, when the jockey win a race, patience and confident yourself is payoff.
Well, jockey Javier Castellano is as patient as they come, and he doesn't panic very often, and that's why he's a 3-time Eclipse Award winner. We're going to continue this visit with Javier in the second half of the show. Stay with us. We're back with more on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, but the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit pdjf.org and start making a difference today.
This is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. Angel Rodriguez led North America in wins and extended his lead in the jockey standings at Penn National to 20 wins. Rodriguez won 42% and consistently came in the money on 67% of his mounts, finishing the week with 10 wins, 4 seconds, and 2 third place finishes. Ricardo Santana Jr. continued to dominate at Oaklawn as he won the Grade 3 Honeybee Stakes aboard Terra Promessa. Santana finished the week with 7 wins, 2 seconds, and 3 third-place finishes. Julien Le Perreux had a strong showing at Tampa Bay Downs as he went 2-1-1 in his 4 stakes mounts on Saturday. Le Perreux won the Grade 3 Florida Oaks and the Grade 2 Hillsborough Stakes aboard Teppan. For the week, Le Perreux finished with 4 wins, 3 seconds, and 2 third-place finishes. Finally, the Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week, Joe Talamo, put the competition to sleep as he piloted Melatonin home in the Big Cap at odds of 16-1. Talamo's mounts led North America in earnings with $682,000, and he finished the week with 3 wins, 1 second, and 2 third-place finishes. Ride to Win, an inside look at the jockey's craft, is now available in a digital version formatted for your ebook reader, complete with live links to videos of key races featured in the text. A significant portion of the proceeds go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. For excerpts, testimonials, and to order, visit JockeyTalk360.com. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For all the latest news in the jockey world, visit JockeyTalk360.com and follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
And they're letting out off stops coming to the top of the stretch. Pleasantly perfect. Catapulting past horses on the far outside. As the field turns for home, Ghost Zephyr has now shrugged off Roses in May. Pleasantly perfect continues to rally down the center of the track. Azari doing her best, but she's now fifth. In between horses, perfect drift. Ghost Zephyr kicking clear. And Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively. And a pumped up Javier Castellano. Soundly defeated Roses in May. Pleasantly Perfect was a well-beaten third. Perfect Drift was fourth.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 2004 Breeders' Cup Classic and the great Hall of Famer Ghost Zephyr, ridden by jockey Javier Castellano. As you heard Tom Durkin say in his call, they pumped up Javier Castellano, and rightfully so. The horse could flat-out run, and that was a tremendous win in the career of Javier. Again, he is with us here tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mike Penna with you here on the network, and want to remind you that if you missed any portion of this program, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available for you to listen to at your leisure, and you can listen on iTunes as well, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Javier, a little trip down memory lane for you there with that call from Tom Durkin, but you had every right to be pumped up after that win.
It was amazing. It was my first Breeders' Cup ever in my career. And I was so excited. And first of all, I mean, a lot of nerves. I'm nervous because I never rode the Kentucky Derby in the Breeders' Cup, sorry. And that's the first light horse to ride to also. I mean, it was amazing to be performed to the best jockeys in the world, basically. And the best training, the best horses, and Breeders' Cup class. And it was kind of, you know, I don't know really what to do. Basically, it was a jump. It was my first high-life career. And the only one thing I remember, I've been with the horse in the past, and we have a lot of success with him. I've been working the horse a lot of time. I knew I have a little idea what's going on. Usually the horse come from way back. It was a long start, a small track. The speed hold a lot. Big field. I believe it was 12 horses.
Yeah.
I was the one hole, the first horse they loaded to the gate. And I don't want to be too far back because it's really hard to get some ground in those special track. And one thing, I'd like to hear Bobby Frank, what he say in the paddock when just to listen when he gave me the intrusion. And we went to the party. Hey, Bobby, how are you? Hey, Javi. And he didn't say anything, never speak any word. I said, oh, my God. Then when he gave me a leg up and get on the horse, and he only say good luck. And I take a look, and I look at his face. Say something else, give me idea to, but it was good because he gave me the green light and tried to use my best shots, man, for the race, and it worked out great because We loaded everybody, and the hole, he break out of the gate so sharp for the one hole. I ended up in the lead. I said, no way, I'm here in the lead. I'm not supposed to be in the lead. I'm supposed to be third, fourth, fifth. Anyway, but I'm here. I'm not going to take it away anything when he comes easy. Let me run my race and let him whatever he wants to do. The horse is happy. He's in the lead. He just galloped along. And just hold on. Then I remember John Velasquez was with Ross Smith, Ken Ramsey. He was right the horse. He was one of the favorites. He right next to me. But that horse, he run the best race of his career. He went to the lead, very relaxed, very comfortable, good, decent pace. I remember him. When Tony Fajon, we asked the horse, he took off like he started from the gate. I said, whoa. I'm so emotional because it's my first Breeders' Cup, a special Breeders' Cup classic. How can I ask it better than this? He can find it. And I was so excited for that.
I can imagine you would have been. And if you're putting a resume tape together and you're going to send it out to trainers and say, hey, I want to ride your horse, right? You're going to want your best races at the top of that tape. And I'm sure that race is going to be probably number one or pretty close to it. What would you consider to be Javier Castellano's greatest ride?
In the moment, hard to, because everyone, he got his emotion. Everyone race you. He got something special. Sometimes the way you ride, the way you roll the horse. I've been very fortunate, I'll be honest with you. I read a lot of horses, good horses, but I don't have anything specific, because if you think about Bernardini, it was an amazing race. Bernardini and the Preakney, and everything was about Barbaro. Barbaro was undefeated. Barbaro is supposed to not lose that day. It was amazing to be Barbaro that day, and unfortunately, that's the only way you could beat it. And unfortunately, that's what happened, you know.
Yeah.
And the race with Barbaro. But move forward, I think the horse, the way he rode that race, I was amazed. One of the biggest races, too, also.
Is that your favorite Bernardini moment?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
It was. I remember to Saratoga, too, when I win my first Saratoga, my first travel with Bernardini. It was unbelievable, too.
How about that 2014 Saratoga meet last year? 2015, right? 2015 last year. And, boy, just absolutely
outstanding.
Unreal.
A big American fighter. It was undefeated, the horse in the field. And, of course, King I, he did everything he really wanted to get it done, the race.
Yeah.
The pay, the everything, the way he set out the race, the way he unfolded the race, it was amazing.
When you're riding a horse like Keen Ice, who's a long shot against a horse like American Pharoah, you know how good he is. What's your approach going into a race like that? Is it different than when you're riding the favorite?
The balls you have to perform. The balls you need to focus. And I don't take it personal, but, I mean, it's, you have to be involved. You have to make some goal. You need to, the way you handle it, the business, the way you perform. And of course, a little pressure when you ride 4 to 5 or even more in the race. But I ride to have a pressure and ride the best horse in the race and try to get it done. That's the perfect I would like to do. But at the same time, when you ride those kind of horses, don't get me wrong, it's a little less pressure. Everybody focused to different horses and they forgot about me. I think it was all perfect,
yeah.
You know. Especially the style, the whole, he come from way back, American Father in the league, everybody chased American Father to beat it, and everything he was set up perfect.
Javier Castellano here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Okay, I'm going to flip this around a little bit, and I know I can ask you this question because you're always very candid. Every jockey has a race that they say, man, I want to have that one back. I should have won that race. Flip it around for me. I talked about your favorite race or your best race. What is a race that you say, man, I wish I could ride that horse again. I wish I could do that race over. Is there one moment that sticks out to you?
Kentucky Derby.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
I mean,
Any of them?
I think a couple of years ago, Norma Invasion, where I wrote Norma Invasion, I think that year, or he won the race, I took it, I could wait a little longer in the top of the stretch. And I had to move with the flow. Everybody started moving, and I moved. And that hurt, I think, a little premature move, and that could have cost me the race a little bit. Of course, I think after I saw the replay a couple of times, I think, or nobody beat that day. The way he did it, it was a great performance.
Yeah.
But it could be a little more closer. It could be a little more excited race. Yes.
Tell me about your first Kentucky Derby. What was that experience like?
Bellamy Raw. It was in 2006. I never rode the Kentucky Derby before. That was my first time. And the horse was picking top. It was the first. It was the favorite horse in the race. And it was a lot of pressure because I won. The prep for the Kentucky Derby was the Wood Memorial in New York. And the horse won by 17 lengths, just galloped. And I was so excited. I said, how can a horse you go to the Kentucky Derby? He can lose a horse. To me, it was cinch, the horse. I think it's going to be my first Kentucky Derby. I was so excited. And for some reason, the horse didn't show out that day.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it like? What's it like for a jockey? I hear this a lot. A lot of jockeys will say, when you come onto the track and they play My Old Kentucky Home, you get a little teary-eyed. Did you?
I did. I did because you might start thinking where I come from. I come from so different places. I went through so many things to get there, and now where I am. I'm here to perform with the best of the best. The Kentucky Derby, everybody dream, and I was dreaming to be in that spot, and now I'm here.
We started this conversation by talking about your family, your brother and your sister. Of course, your brother Abel, very accomplished rider. Tell me about watching Abel ride. What's that like for you when you have to sit here and watch the monitors and you see him on TV? What's that like?
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't watch a race for him. I get so nervous, and I sit down on the couch and I move around, and my wife, she say, what is she doing? And I get so nervous. I root for a lot for him every time, every single race. And he, every time he go through to a tiny hole and try to split horses, I said, no, don't do that. No, wait, no. Every time, I mean, now I can understand my father when he went through with me. I think that's maybe the same feel he want we able, you know. And he did it to me. I mean, it's when you love something, you want it the best. And of course, I'm tied with my family. I love my brother. I love Abel. And I mean, it's tough game. It's not easy.
Yeah. How about when you get a chance to ride with Abel in the same race? What's that like?
It's completely different thing. he focused to win the race. I'm focused to win my race because I'm competitive. I want to win and I want to beat it all the time. When I beat it, show, okay, I'm the best, you know. And he think the same way. It's two different things because when you ride, you perform. You might always think, try to be the best of the best. That I forget is my brother. Forget nobody. I'm competitive. I want to be the best. I want to be in top. I always want to be first. I don't want to be second. I don't want excuses.
Especially by your brother. You can't let your brother beat
no.
you.
No. And it's going to say, oh, I'll beat you. No. In this game, you need to, it's hard to find excuse. You don't want excuse. You want to be a result.
What makes him such a good rider?
Work hard. Work hard and don't stop what you do. And being disciplined. A lot of discipline. Work hard. Dedicate yourself.
It's funny. You said that you can't watch your brother ride because, you know, you're watching him go through a tight hole or whatever it might be. How about your wife, Abby? Can she watch you ride?
I don't think so. She say sometimes I win some races, tight hole, go through the rear and split horses. She say, why you do that? It's a little, why you got to go in the rear? It's so tight right there. You don't have any room to go there. I say, I don't know. You got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, I'll enjoy what I'm doing. And I have fun. Enjoy my moment. And I love what I do.
Your family now, you have three beautiful kids of your own. I can remember when your first was born. It's hard to believe that it was, what, 7 or 8 years ago now?
Yes.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Hard to believe, really.
Well, let's start for Kayla. Yeah. Kayla, she's 10.
10 years. Wow.
Yes. Sienna, she's 7. And the little boy, Brady, is 3.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, they jump and enjoy.
Do you want them to be jockeys?
No. I hope not. I think it's going to be too big for Jack, the way he looks so far.
Do they like horses, the three of them?
A little bit, not much. Sienna, I'm very unfortunate. She's allergic about horses. And every time she gets close to the horses, she spreads, she starts to sneeze, and she gets red.
So we don't have to worry about her being a jockey?
No, I don't think so. And Sienna, Kayla, the old one, she's fine. She's not really involved. A little Brady, yes. And the little boy is, every time I go to Saratoga, he go crazy. He see the horse, he go crazy. I think maybe because too little, I don't know. It's right now, it's hard to figure out a way. But I hope not. I hope it could be like Tom Brady.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
You know, you travel so much. I mean, all top jockeys do. You're on the road a lot. You're away from your family a lot. How difficult is that for you?
It is. You miss a lot of moments, birthdays, and parties and the shows and the in school and only see the video, and it made me sad because time's too short. You gotta go through to those moments and only you can see through the video and iPhone. Very lucky, fortunate we see the technology. But those little moments, it got me pretty good. It made me down a little bit. But at the same time, it made me motivated because I need to go through it. I need to do the best for them. I need to save the security, his career. I try to give it the best education. I try to give it the best the life.
Tell me about the day that you won your first Eclipse Award. What was that day like for Javier Castellano?
It was amazing. I was work hard all year round and get that night and got the representation. The presentation, they give it to you, the trophy. And they say you're the best jockey in the United States. I say, unbelievable. A lot of things you go through and be very lucky. I have wonderful woman right next to me. It's my wife, Abby. She always next to me, support me, and the bad one, the good one. And that's, and it made me make it strong to move forward. And my kids all the time being there. My mom always support me, and my brother, my sister. And celebrate that night is, I say, unbelievable. And maybe this is it. That's only one time I can win, you know. And very lucky to win this year. I don't know what's going to happen the next year. I didn't have no idea could win another Eclipse Award. I think I was to enjoy that moment for forever because I don't know if it's going to come again. I said, man, we got to enjoy, we got to celebrate. Eclipse Award, best jockey in the country, in the United States. What a achievement. That's unbelievable. And there you go, 3 years in a row.
3 years in a row. It's hard to believe, but you've earned it, and you've worked very hard to be there and to achieve those levels. So you deserve every bit of success that you're having now, Javier. I can tell you that. Were you ever surprised in any of those 3 years to hear your name called?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it surprised, but I like to hear my name.
Right, where are the Eclipse Awards now? Where do you keep them?
In the office, in my office.
At your house?
In the house.
Yeah.
And sometimes we move around. Sometimes we put in the living room. Sometimes,
what, when Abel comes over?
Yeah, we hide it. We put in the living room, and then we move to the office. Those two places, we move around. We try to decorate the house with those three a little horses. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, it should. Take me inside Javier Castellano's house. What pictures am I going to see when I walk in? Is there Ghost Zapper? Is there Bernardini? What am I going to see?
Well, I got a few. I got a couple of videos called. Very lucky, very fortunate to win those races. The Spa. I got Ghost Zapper. It was my first one. It was 2004. British Cup Classic. It was a lot to me because it was the first win. Big. I said, wow. It's special. And I got Bellamy Road. I got Saratoga County when I went to Dubai for first time to be in Dubai and win the race. It was awesome. And Saratoga County, he won the Gold Sachin, that sprint race. And it was my first international race, Grade 1. I think it's a lot to me.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so hard, too difficult to win Grade 1 here, especially when you go out of the country, you have to compete with, especially in Dubai. In Dubai, he come from different places, all over the country. And you have to hook up with them, you have to perform, you have to be the best of the best. We're very lucky to win the race. I got that. I got Bernardini too. It was an amazing horse too.
So Bernardini, Ghost Zapper, those are two names that come to mind as great horses that you've been aboard. But tell me about a couple of others that we maybe haven't touched on yet that you're never going to forget.
Well, I got five Travis. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I put it all together. I got Bernardini. I got Bernardini. I got King Eyes. I got the horse and Jimmy Yerke horse. And
oh, yeah, Wicked Strong?
Wicked.
No. Is that not Wicked Strong?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm bad for the name. I shouldn't remember.
There have been so many good ones, though. You just must pinch yourself every time you sip it. Do you ever take time? Does Javier ever take time to sit back and reflect? You mentioned when you rode in the Derby, you think about where you came from, where you started, all the work you put in to get there. Do you ever just sit back at home and just say, wow, did this really happen? Do you have time to do that?
Yes. Especially the day off, because when you go through every single race, you don't have to think about it. Especially those days when you win 4, 5 races, 6 races in the car, and people, man, you don't realize you win 5, 6 races. Last year, 2 years ago, I won the Florida Derby here. It was 14 races that day. I rode all the 14 races, every single one. I win 5 races that day. I won the Florida Derby. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't realize it to that point. I win so many races, that big car that day. And when you get home, it's still you don't realize what you did in the day. But the next couple of days was Monday, Tuesday, and lay by in the couch and say, oh my God, thank God, Lord, for all those winners, because you don't realize it that moment, because you mentally in your body is always busy. You think about it, and you have to do a lot of things you have to do to move forward, and you don't realize in that point, wow, what a day. I rode 14 horses, I didn't get tired. And we 5 races, especially I hook up with John Velasquez, one of the top jockeys in the country, from the quarter all the way to the end. It was a real Wicked Strong. White Carret, I rode Constitution. It was a beautiful race. I said, oh, it's unbelievable. It's amazing.
How do you not get tired when you ride 14 horses on a car, or 14 races on a card?
Lucky and young. I don't know. I think I'm trying to take care of my body. That's the first thing you need to do. And get rest and eat well and do exercise, and I think it's going to pay off. If you take care of yourself, and when you perform, you just got to do well. And believe me, you drink a lot of water and try to do the right thing. And no matter what you do, it got the price, and it pay off. You get tired because you're human, and don't get me wrong, but you're not getting that really, really tired. You're going to be exhausted the next day. and your body's got to recover more quick than it's supposed to be because you're healthy. And I think I won the case too, because if you take the decision in the beginning you want to be what you want to be, you got to take your own responsibility yourself. You need to sacrifice a little team to be where you want to be.
What things are still left for Javier Castellano to accomplish? What do you still want to do in the game?
I mentioned a little bit early in the interview when the, no question about it, you know, all the jockey, he want to have that dream. I want to win the Kentucky Derby. I think that's my big target in my life and my career. I want to get to that point. Hopefully, you know, I've been praying a lot, everything going well. Hopefully soon. I mean, I think it's the right time, the right place. I'm looking forward.
Come on, you've won so many races, more races than any other jockey in the country the past 3 years. Why is it so hard to win on the first Saturday in May?
I don't know why. It's because I think I knew why. Because you got the best of the best. You got the best 20 jockeys in the country. And you got the best 20 horses in the country. In average, I believe they pull in the United States about 30,000 horses every year.
Yep.
And only 20 horses qualify to run that race. That means not even the horse is supposed to win, he win the race. Like the horse, they pick in top because he been having great career the last couple races. His background, he wins undefeated. It doesn't mean anything. You need to be lucky in that moment. It's 20 horses. Anything can happen. As soon as you start out of the gate, a little bumpy, or the horse you didn't break. A lot of things can go wrong. It's only one time it can go right. And if you end up right, and you're very lucky, fortunate guy to win that Kentucky Derby.
Is it possible to ride in a 20-horse field and have zero traffic trouble?
It is. I mean, if you watch the last 20 Kentucky Derby, the last 20 years, and I give it credit to Calvin Burrell. And he won so many Kentucky Derby, the four Kentucky Derby, three Kentucky Derby in 5 years. The way he performed, I mean, it was 20 horses. He got the horse, the favorite horse in the race. I mean, I give it credit to take away he put the horse to win the race.
It never got stopped.
It never gets stopped. He's staying the rear all the way. He go around a couple horses. He save all the ground. He give it the best ride to win the race. Very lucky, very fortunate.
He's jockey Javier Castellano, three-time Eclipse Award winner and still going strong. You heard him say it. Love to win the Kentucky Derby. Let's hope it happens soon, my friend.
I hope you too.
Really appreciate you taking the time. It's been wonderful to visit, hear your story, and all the best. Safe trip each and every time you get a leg up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate for all the help.
Javier Castellano here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's. Don't forget, if you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure and be sure to support the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund as well. For our special guest, Javier Castellano, for my producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's.